Hello, here is RX32, also known as Matt, and you're listening to the NVN podcast, the only podcast for NVN.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Dave, a.k.a. Eat the Surf. Dude, doctor.
Yeah, and I'm... And I'm Skunkeen, a.k.a. Skunky Anna Jones, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Yeah, episode 64 and the interview with Eric 32, a.k.a. Matt, but where are we?
We're deep in a vault. This is the hidden shrine of tube sucking, if I'm not mistaken.
You mean Tomoakin, from the C1 PNP module, the one redone in both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2?
No, Dave, this is tube sucking. We're deep in the files of the Neverwinter Vault. Somewhere here in here must be the gift codes for Mysteries of Westgate. Dave, don't step there, Dave.
Gift codes? Oh, for the Outfitters contest. The axes for last month's contest were pretty sweet.
Aye. Now they're taking entries for shields now. All right, Dave. Don't. Oh.
Say, did you see about Ty Bay, what he emailed us?
Yeah, he said, oops, I made a mistake on the award show. He's talking about himself. He said, for the most replayable module, Citadel, they have a good path, a neutral path, and the evil path is still under construction, but it's in the works that they're planning on doing for the Citadel module.
Trey's not with us this week, but he had a something he wanted to say, so... Here that is.
Before we get to the news, I wanted to talk about a thread that I found over on the Bioware forums. And the only reason I'm wanting to mention it is because they mentioned the podcast. But anyway, someone was posting whether or not how much longer NWN1 and NWN2 can last. And was they were kind of comparing the two.
I've got the answer.
Forever.
Right.
Until Neverwinter Nights 3 comes out.
And I'd like to read what K9 Medusa replied to in a thread that was called The Game in Question. Basically, the originator was asking if NWN2 was worth getting, and here was K9's reply, which I think sums it up. Indeed, there are a lot more to these games, community-made mods, and online worlds. Also, we have our own podcast. The persistent worlds have their own forums, Atari and Obsidian forums. The toolset is a powerful tool if one likes to make your own stories, and many more aspects too numerous to list. So anyway, I thought that was worth mentioning. So shout out to K9 Medusa for listening to our podcast and mentioning us, and also standing up for NWN2.
Yeah, I'd say it was an apropos.
Hey, K9, stop by and leave us a couple of comments too if you want, please.
Okay, thanks, Trey. And on to news. Got some news from Sirotis after congratulating him on his Golden Dragon win. Says, maybe I'm way behind the curve, or maybe I'm just a diehard fan of the originals, but I'm still focusing on custom content for Neverwinter Nights 1, and I've still got a soft spot in my heart for the first edition AD&D, so you can expect at least 2 more classic PNP conversions from me. I have been working diligently on Neverwinter Nights 1 conversion of S4, The Lost Caverns of Socanth, which I hope to release in the next month or so. My conversion of S3, Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, is much farther on the horizon, but as long as there's interest in Neverwinter Nights 1, I'll keep at it.
Good deal, Sir Otis. Look forward to reading more about it when you update the news.
Yeah, good to hear. I'm stoked about anything PNP related and first edition to that.
Yeah, I'm also a PNP DM, so yeah. I dig it. Well, the Community Creature Pack ended up releasing a follow-up update with all the Neverwinter Nights 1 updates that they have going on. This is now the Community Creature Project CCP 2.1. With this hack pack set, includes tons of awesome Dungeons & Dragons monsters for you to use in your module. So go ahead and check that out in our show notes, and I really recommend you guys use it in your modules. It'll add a whole bunch more storylines to your work.
Well, and more things to attack, which is cool. Yeah, and actually that's funny because it's version 2.1, which the CEP is also in 2.1, so it is a different thing.
Well, like... CEP, like, really set the standard for hacks to coexist with each other. So that's what CCP did, is they updated it so it works perfect alongside with CEP.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Good work, guys.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of pen and paper type games, we're going to be organizing an event. We just need two more people to sign up for it, where we're going to game the Neverwinter Nights 2 game, Keep on the Borderlands, for about a couple 3-hour sessions done on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you're interested in gaming with myself, Trey, and Jay, and didn't you say you were going to game with us too?
I'm in there.
All right, Jay. So we just need two more people willing to game with us. And we got ourselves a good full group for me to DM with you.
Sweet. That's totally cool. I guess we'll post the date when we get a date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, when we get two more players. That's all we need is two more players.
And then we'll do the next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, there's we got a couple E3 news for 2008. Neverwinter Nights Storm of Zaheer. The IGN has created some info on the next expansion for Neverwinter Nights 2 from E3. And we have an awesome, amazing link in our show notes for you to check that out as well.
Yeah, there's also some stuff over at Warcry site, and their article is linked in the show notes as well, and they got some screenshots too.
Atari releases Neverwinter Nights 2, Mysteries of Westgate, intro movie. Tricked y'all into thinking it was released. No. It's just the intro movie, and this is being showcased at a different website now, Gamers Hell. We dug this up on from the Gamers Hell, where you could view the complete intro movie for Mysteries of Westgate Venture Pack, produced by Ossian Studios.
That's cool to be getting some press at Gamers Hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Congrats, Ossian.
Just can't wait to play it. It's supposed to be coming out in a couple weeks.
Now, if you're probably a listener of this show, you've probably already seen this intro movie, because pretty much the whole community is just dying and eager to play this game. Now, myself, I've caught up on the OC. I'm in Mask of Betrayer right now, and I'm going to be needing that Mysteries of Westgate pretty soon. Right away.
Jonesing.
Yeah, I'm jonesing.
Skunky Anna Jones in for it.
but other than that, I mean, we've already seen the intro, but you know, maybe some people at Gamers Hell will end up seeing it.
Yeah, we'll see some. Maybe some people of Gamers Hell can come over here and listen to us.
You may have noticed that we've been experiencing some slowness with the site. It seems to have started about the time that we added the polls and the Amazon store side panel to the front page. Thanks to Tony Dandario for bringing to our attention. We have removed the polls in an attempt to see if that's what's causing the issue, and we'll be monitoring the performance at the site and may make other adjustments if needed. And here is the interview.
This week I have with me Eric, 32, a.k.a. Matt. And actually we're going with Matt because my ability to pronounce Polish names is severely lacking.
But, I guess not on yours.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I had Matt in one of my games, well, we both agreed was ages ago. He's an excellent role player, and I figured he could share with the community some of his thoughts on playing. So, what do you care to share about yourself with our listeners?
Well, yeah, as you already know, my name is very hard to pronounce. So, well, I'm 19 years old, and currently I'm studying filmmaking in Łódź. And that's pretty much about it.
So what type of role-playing experience did you have before coming to Neverwinter Nights?
Before I started playing Neverwinter Nights, I've been playing Warhammer 1st Edition for some time. It was the first role-playing system I've ever played, and it kind of shaped my view on the role-playing, because Warhammer features a much darker world than usual Dungeons & Dragons worlds do. Later I've started playing Dungeons & Dragons pen and paper, but actually I think I really was gone into it when I started playing Neverwinter Nights. And right now we are playing Dungeons & Dragons pen and paper around.
So how did your pen and paper experience, how does that serve you in Neverwinter Nights?
Well, it's always good to have some, you know, experience in role playing. And as I already knew some tools of trade, I could put them to use in Neverwinter. But playing in Neverwinter is different from playing pen and paper, that's for sure, even with the MFI tools. Combat is really quicker in Neverwinter because it's handled by the engine, so players don't have time to actually put some, you know, towns or something like that when you do combat. And decisions must be made much faster.
Actually, I was thinking about that the other day as I was thinking of DMing and how, actually, the game that you played with me, I was so lost and not wanting to hit pause.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I think my first session as DM was worse.
Well, thanks for that compliment.
but I had some, you know, much player experience back then, so I didn't have that much problem with handling the engine, but I think I kind of limited it on the plot side. And plot was good.
Well, that's what I was, and I've talked to... Have you heard of Skunkeen? He's
Yeah, I've been playing one of his DMFI 101 games.
Yeah, well,
just
he
spread measure.
My big question with him is my insecurity of using the pause button. And actually, you're talking about the combat there. Is I was thinking in my game, my next games is as soon as the encounter is about to happen. Is to hit pause and to have a periodically hit pause throughout the combat so people could get a little more tactic or a little more strategy into their combat. How would that make you feel as you were playing?
I prefer to have the pause button, as I remember we sometimes had when I was playing with Sparky or Cutter, and it can help a lot, but... Well, yeah, it's useful, but I don't think that tactic is that very much important to Neverwinter. Sure, it is, but it's not as important as some people may think. Usually you just have to go with the pre-made tactics, you know, when you see a guy with immunity to fire and vulnerability to frost, it's pretty much simple tactic on him.
Right, right.
Yeah, pause might be a good idea. At least it is for me.
what I miss about playing in Neverwinter Nights is that when you're playing with miniatures, you know, you think about where to move your guy. But in Neverwinter Nights, you kind of just automatically almost run in, or one guy sets at distance, but they don't really coordinate where they're standing.
Yes, that's true.
And I'd like that to happen a little more, so I think maybe... you're helping me be a better DM right now.
Well, yeah, those are the ages-old issues of Neverwinter Nights, and those are hard to handle.
So, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Well, between the usual, between the hack and slashing and role-playing, I prefer role-playing over hack and slash. And that's why I play Neverwinter Nights. Because for some good old hack and slashing, you can find that in every massive multiplayer online role-playing game. But the only game where you actually have a chance for some real role-playing experience is Neverwinter. And that's the best part about it.
Do you ever do a pickup game at Neverwinter Connections, or do you plan your games, or how do you get a game?
Right now I'm using Neverwinter Connections, yes. I don't have time for playing on persistent words, and right now I think I'm more DMing than playing. I have a campaign running now, but I guess I will have to put it on chat because I'm leaving, but...
So yeah, that's the hard part of running a campaign, is actually having real world
true.
In there.
Because, you know, the DM is responsible for the campaign. If he fails, pretty much everything will fail. And that's kind of responsibility that's sometimes hard to take.
That's funny. It's we're about to go on vacation here, and it's like, of all this pressure of, geez, I want to get this done and this done. It's like, well, it's supposed to just be a game, but...
Yeah. Well, luckily my co-dungeon master Striker will do some games in that time slot. So I hope when I get back, I won't see that, oh no, my party is gone to other games. So, see you guys later, I guess.
Yeah, lose your players. They're so hard to find good players in the first place, right?
That's so hard to find players in the first place, right? But it's going for the better, I must say.
How so?
Well, when I started playing Neverwinter Nights, when I, you know, because I had some larger pauses between I was playing Neverwinter Nights, and when I got back to playing it right now, there was very little of players active, and right now there is quite a lot of them, and lots of games.
Yeah, it's a pretty good time, actually.
Yeah. We are finally going back to the, you know, good old times when there was really a lot of games around and campaigns.
Yeah, I'm wondering actually if some of that is people went away and tried other games and went, you know what, Neverwinter Nights is the good game.
It's the best one.
Yeah. Well, that's what you like to... We talk to other people. Everybody's got like 3 or 4 of the copies, it seems like. My oldest kid's 5 and a half, and so I was like, well, I have a copy for him when he's old enough, and I have another computer that'll run it, so it's like, I already have a plan when the computers get older to save them, so they'll still run Neverwinter, and I can loop it up.
Well, yeah, when I started playing Neverwinter Nights, I actually shared my account with my father. That's why it's called Eric 42.
Okay. So your father got you into it then?
Yeah, it was that way, I guess.
That's pretty neat. That makes me feel better about forcing the gaming down my kid's throat.
Ow. No. Just, you know, on the CD, without the box.
Okay, let's see. Character building. So, what's your favorite class and race?
Try it. Favorite class of all my favorite class, I think it's Rouge.
Yeah? How so? Or why?
Because he allows for the best flexibility in play, and I guess I just love them little scoundrels. They are also pretty vital to every party. Sure, they aren't best fighters when faced face-to-face, but when it comes to disarming a trap or sneaking past evil warlord's grunts into kitchen to poison the soul, you know who you're gonna call, and I'm not talking Ghostbusters.
I'm first edition D&D, so I still call them thieves. But...
Oh, well, I wasn't around first edition D&D.
Yeah, you don't have to remind me how old I am. That's okay, I'm 42. Let me expand on the rogue, because...
Yeah, go on.
We've talked to builders and mod makers about how to make a rogue more important in Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, it's true.
What do you think they could do?
I think that the most important part for rogue in Neverwinter Nights are traps. Because finding a trap is much easier in Neverwinter than it's in the usual pen and paper game, when traps should be used less, because, you know, they really slow down party and it's harder to disarm them. But when you plant some traps in corridors or something, it really makes the rush feel useful, because it's usually the area he can shine it. It must be a good balance. After all, it can happen that a player who's playing a rush won't be able to attend the session, and suddenly you look and corridor is full of traps, dungeon is full of traps, and uh-oh, someone gonna need some raise that scrolls today.
Yeah, time to
so
get an
best
NPC.
To keep some balance, but traps probably may be a little harder to find and a little harder to disarm. But you know, it's kind of every player, you know, because levels of characters are different, so every single one must be looked from the different point of view, which probably is the hardest part for persistent words to build on, because they are made for many players. It's much easier if you play the closed campaign.
Right. So do you have a favorite race?
I like dwarves very much. But, actually I have few favorite races. Humans, dwarves, and halflings.
And what do you like? What's special about those?
Well, halflings are those, you know, little devils. Most people think they are merry folk, only suitable for, you know, those do-good roaches or cooks. But why not think of them, you know, there are can be, after all, halflings that are different. I'm thinking more, you know, Giant in the Playground games. Probably from there is an excellent example of halfing there. I'm talking about Belkar.
Exactly. So, when you're building a character, what do you think what feats are most valuable to you?
In building a feats and skills are important part of the character, because they represent areas in which your character really shines. They are in a kind of symbiosis with your role-playing, because you have to role-play the skills you possess, and the skills you possess allow you for role-playing opportunities.
So when you're building your character, you keep in mind how you want to role-play it before you pick the feats, or do you pick the feats and then role-play to them?
Personally, I first think of my character, then I adjust the feats for it. For example, if I roll with a swashbuckler, I would choose expertise for him, because it allows him to represent the ability to, you know, parry and avoid the hits. Or if I'm rolling with a wizard that is focused on using fire offensive spells, I would take spell focus in evocation to represent it in my character sheet.
So is there any particular philosophy you have in building characters?
It depends. Some of the feats I usually choose are, as I said, expertise and spell penetration. Expertise because, I like When I play with fighter, I usually go for a weapon master prestige class, and expertise is one of feats needed there, and I think it's one of the most useful feats for fighter in third edition, because it can save his life on more than one occasion, and it allows him to be a real tanker, so party can stand behind him and snipe the enemies out from safety.
So what do you think the secret is to good role-playing?
Well, it's, you know, a very difficult question, and I think I don't can provide a full answer for it, but I can try. First, and probably most important, use every possibility to make your character more realistic. We'll be talking Neverwinter Nights, from the Neverwinter Nights point of view, okay? Because it will be hard to translate it for pen and paper, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
So, for a Neverwinter example, if you are a wizard with familiar, and I just must say that I love Neverwinter Nights familiars, make some sort of connection between those two. I've seen too many people forget about their familiars, using them just as a bonus summon on between rests. It does not exactly must be a relationship between master and servant. The more original, the better. Also, having a character you feel good with is probably important too. I know from self-experience that I can't play some sorts of characters because I won't feel good while playing them, reading both myself and fellow players out of fun. A well-designed idea for the character is important too. When you play a character with complicated, three-dimensional personality, it will be much more fun than playing a cardboard character. You know what I mean.
Yeah, like a weakness or something.
I'm talking, you know, if I'm a half orc, I must be stupid. You know,
right,
stereotypes.
Right.
Or big, stupid fighter. A character with true personality allows you to more get into it, also allowing your role-playing to be better. And most important, have fun. If there is no fun, there won't be really good role-playing, as RPGs were created for fun. Don't try too strange or too eccentric character if you don't feel like you can handle it, because that won't feel like fun for you.
Right, it'd feel like work. I remember, I think you played in one of my games, a wizard with, a really like to drink, I think.
I guess it was Matreus and his legendary familiar Inferno.
That's right, yes.
He's one of my favorite characters on Neverwinter Nights. And I must say, I just like the way he and Inferno are. It's complicated because Inferno is an imp that particularly doesn't like Matreus because he considers him a weakling and only by accident was binding to survive to him. And Matreus' drinking habit doesn't help the relationship between those two.
It's a lot of fun in the game. It was just a lot of fun. So, what helps you to get into character?
This is hard one too. I guess I just do. A part of preparing to go into a character is doing good work over your character. You know, you must think about it. How will he act in certain possible situations? So I guess that when you have a character with a real personality, well-developed one, and you feel good with him, you just get into it. It happens naturally.
So where do you find your inspiration?
For my characters, I usually find inspiration in all kinds of stuff, but I think two most important ones and easiest one to think are history books and fantasy stuff. TV also can be useful, but I'm not really a TV person, so I won't advertise searching inspiration in TV, but actually history can be really useful to role playing. Probably more to the world builders and DMs, if I may add about it, because you can find great inspirations for plots, character ideas, names, items in actual history. I think it's kind of funny or ironic that stuff which sounds like best fantasy can be actually found in human history.
That's what they always say, is you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
So, what do you enjoy most about role-playing? And I guess at the same time, what annoys you most when you role-play?
Well, let's get first to the good side of enjoyment. It's the one. First, I guess it's possibility to have great fun with your friends. That's what I probably most enjoy in role playing. And I guess I just kind of like to sometimes, you know, jump in other men's shoes. But I think sometimes my character don't wear shoes, but just stay at walking
say,
other men's
I've played shoes. A halfling. I'm not going to put on any shoes, but... I guess maybe. Maybe some boots of striding, I suppose.
Oh, boots of striding. Yeah, probably Rue's best friend. Because we usually lack those sweet hit points. That way. But what most annoys me when we are talking Neverwinter Nights here, and it's happened to me a few times, is when someone starts to comment your role playing when actually game is on. Because I'm not, seriously, wait for it after game. If you are playing over some sort of community site and have option to command a player, do it then. But please, do not try to bust into someone's role playing as it takes place. You know, I would like to... That's pretty much like sports here. When you are at a losing team, you lose faith in yourself. And that's what actually trying to comment and, you know, give good advices when someone is actually trying to roleplay does to man. He loses faith in his roleplaying and starts wondering, what am I doing wrong? And because that some stress happens on him, and he starts to think his roleplaying is bad and he may read not only himself but fellow players of fun.
That's pretty good advice. I'm thinking about that with parenting between me and my wife. You're wise. A wise man. What one thing do you think other players could do to help those around them become more immersed in the game? Obviously not give them advice while they're role-playing. So what do you think they could do to help
giving
them?
Giving advice is a good thing, but as I said, not when the game's on. Because it's one of the biggest scenes of Neverwinter role-playing.
Oh yeah, it would take away, you know, in your confidence.
For me, it's pretty much, you know, the first command, breaking first commandment of playing Neverwinter Nights. Anyway, what men can do to help others fit into your character well?
Yeah.
Best thing is discussions, I think.
So, just to get into a conversation with their character?
Yeah, if, you know, planning or discussing some sort of issue, you know, like loot or helping goblins, it's not only great fun when people roleplay some points of view and they aren't playing their points of view, but points of view the character would have on certain matter. Because, you know, I'm talking, for example, I myself would help someone in trouble, but if I'm playing a paladin and someone in trouble is a goblin who has eradicated my home village, I probably wouldn't help the goblin because I have all the reasons to hate those buggers, right?
Right.
Those kind of discussions help players to go into their characters better. And other important thing is to be kind. I mean, sure, if you are role-playing a character with nasty character, That's not a problem, as I'm tolerant and I must admit that sometimes I have played some not too good ones. Like I once played Undead, but it's another story. But there is a line when your character may start to work on nerves too much. And right. If it starts to work on the actual player's nerves, it's really a bad thing.
Right.
Because, you know, it's other thing when he works on nerves on characters, because, you know, pretty much anything can work on the nerves of some people, because Paladin probably won't like helping thieves going around. But it's not that bad, because it allows possibility of some, you know, role-playing. But if it actually starts to annoy players themselves, it's you know, the red light.
Right, it crosses over to not fun anymore for somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
How about let's move into some general game stuff, and I'm always curious about what somebody else keeps in their quick slots.
Oh, right, quick slots.
and why they put those things there.
Well, pretty much there can be anything in your quick slot, and it depends on the class. I myself, when I'm playing a spellcaster, I save a front slot for my offensive spells. Because it's good to have them handy if suddenly a bunch of orcs or something jumps out. Otherwise, I keep feats and healing potions on the first set of quick slots. And if I am playing as a rogue, I have an invisibility potion on the front set. Ah. And, of course, the MFI player's tools. If I'm not playing a spellcaster, I always have them on the front quick slots. And if I do, I have a place for them on my other quick slots. It's always good to have them handy.
Right.
Because, it's also a good thing I noticed that the player starts to think more and more outside the box, using the, the MFI tools on their own. And as a DM, I actually encourage players to feel free and push the, you know, use the, especially dice bag for their own roles.
Right. So you encourage them to go ahead and make their own, I guess, a skill roll of...
Yeah.
Before and they do the role play.
Sometimes nothing happens, but I sometimes reward them with the otherwise not obtainable piece of knowledge. It's part of, you know, what was great in pen and paper. It allows, you know, players to have greater initiative in making their throws.
Right. It makes you feel more like you're in control of your character, not just having to push buttons in a game.
Yeah.
Right. So, Neverwinter Nights 1 or Neverwinter Nights 2, and why?
About Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. I gotta admit, 2 has much better graphics. Classes are probably better, you know, because they are... far than the health edition and not just 1.0. But what I don't like in Neverwinter Nights 2 and which keeps me playing Neverwinter Nights 1 is multiplayer.
Right. That's supposedly the next thing on the list to get some attention from the
developer. Seriously, Neverwinter Nights 1 multiplayer is great. Because you only need the hack packs and TLK files to play on the server. But in Neverwinter Nights 2, it gets really, really strange. Because, well, you know what I'm talking about. You've got to cover all the updates for the module. And if someone just changes one position of one little thing, like a chair, you've got to deal it from the beginning. And files are really big.
Yeah.
Definitely Neverwinter Nights 1 because of the multiplayer. It's way better than the second one. It's, you know, it's very ironical that because in games it's usually not like in movies, that the sequel is usually better than the first one. But in my opinion, Neverwinter Nights 1 was maybe not a peak, at a peak of possibilities, you know, in such games, but it was very high. and Neverwinter Night hasn't climbed to the same level as Neverwinter Night 1.
Yeah, and in defense of Neverwinter Nights 2, Neverwinter Nights 1 took a while to get rolling, so hopefully Neverwinter Nights 2 will keep rolling along with it. Like,
I'm still hoping so that they will fix multiplayer, but I guess it's just my little
hope. We actually had an interview with Rob from Obsidian.
I think I saw it on the site.
Yeah, and he said they are going to focus attention on both multiplayer and the DM client. And actually, I do know that the DMFI for Neverwinter Nights 2 is coming, and it's but the whole the DM 101 for Neverwinter Nights 2 is on the horizon and coming close.
Yeah, I saw Carlo Wan has made. Well, I think he was one of the men behind the DMFI, and he's after all author of the great Dungeon Master module. So you wanna be a DM?
Yep, and he's about to have the same type of mod for Neverwinter Nights 2.
Yeah, I heard about it, and right now on Neverwinter Connection there is his game, Desperate Measures Gone, Neverwinter Nights 2, and I think it's gonna be great fun.
So I see you do a lot of DMing now. How does being a DM help you?
That's one way of putting it. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. So how does being a DM help you as a player?
That's one of the probably most ancient questions, and I think it's a way that it's complicated, yeah. Because it's not like when you are a good player, you have to be a good DM, and it's not like when you are a good DM, you have to be a good player. For example, I know one of the best DMs I ever played with who didn't really play much, but he was awesome DM, yeah. Mm-hmm. But for me, being a good player, I think that if you are a good player, it's kind of the DM's homework to be a good player, and then you can take just one step up. Sure, being a DM needs much more than just role playing, because organizing plot ideas, it's much more of a hard toll that playing is. But when you are a good player, you know how to role play well, so you know how to put life in non-player characters, which is one of the most important part in good DMing. To have NPCs that feel like life features. Not just some stops for the players.
Okay, so here's an off the wall question: If you're a psychic and you're called upon to predict the future of Neverwinter Nights, what do you see?
Well, what I would like to see is Neverwinter Nights 3, which has the multiplayer system of Neverwinter Nights 1 and graphics of Neverwinter Nights 2, only better.
So a mash of the two of them.
Yeah, it would be really awesome, I think. But for the closer future, well, community of Neverwinter Nights is growing, I think. It had some falls, it had some rise, and right now I think it's rising. Good modules are brought in, and I think only greater ones can be made. Sure, the line is high. After all, we had such great modules as Shadow Lords, or Conora Among Thieves, or Penultima, but I think some of the mod makers can even raise the bar higher.
Do you have any favorite Persistent Worlds campaigns or mods that you'd like to share with the rest of the world?
Probably one of the best Persistent Worlds I ever played was Anacolia. It offers really great role-playing experience. Also, I've been playing a little Arleaf. It's a good server with a good community of players, and they are really helpful for the newbies. Unfortunately, Warhammer New Age isn't around. Well, it isn't around for about 2 years, I think, but it was a great server, and I just decided that it deserves a little homage to it. It was one of the best servers I ever played, and probably the best and only Neverwinter Warhammer server. I had really some great fun, but, well, it's dead, so no, let's no longer dwell about it.
Well, we could do a moment of silence.
Okay, that's enough, I think.
Okay, there you go. So how about, keep going.
And right now I'm playing some great campaigns on Neverwinter Connections. It's worth checking on because there are some great games going on. And right now my two favorite DMs are probably the Twin Brother. Start with him was rough, but right now I see that he's a really shining game. He needed some polish, but now he's really good DM. And Striker. I pretty much know Striker for some time now, and he helps me co-DM, and I'm very thankful to him for that. He is right now planning to bring back his old Persistent World Fornul back to life. Actually, we are.
Excellent. That's what you were mentioning about how the community's coming back up. It's good to see these Persistent Worlds coming back.
Yeah, I actually saw yesterday that Alpha is back.
Good times.
Yeah. Good times of Neverwinter. Yeah. It's like golden and silver age of Neverwinter Nights.
Exactly. What advice would you give to players that haven't been getting onto Connections and joining into campaigns, and what advice would you give them?
Well, I will be just short. Do it. We don't bite.
Describe the funniest moment you've had playing Neverwinter Nights.
Well, there were two, actually, I think, but one of them probably is not really funny anymore. It was like I was playing on Warhammer New Age, and I was a dwarf troll slayer. It's a class in Warhammer. Basically, they are focused on finding a honorable death to atone for their past sins. And I had a human. I think he was a ruse, but I'm not sure. It was really ages ago. And suddenly we came out of the cave, and there was a very large gap. And there was a, you know, jump object there. Uh-huh. And he tried jumping, and I think that difficulty was about 40 or 50 DC. And we were like 3 or 4th level characters. So he was down to 1 hit point. And later I thought, well, you know, unless there is a keg of beer on the other side, I'm not really trying. And the other funny moment was when it was ages ago when I was playing a Ravenloft game, and I asked some games, so how long do you plan on then we play it? And he answered me, FAON. I asked him, what does that mean? And he told me, until I fall asleep on keyboard.
Play till the nose hits the keys.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was quite a funny moment, I guess.
Yeah. So I appreciate you taking time out to talk to me. I know.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for it, too. As I said, I was really surprised to be invited here.
Well, I like I said, I think you're an excellent role player, and I haven't got a chance to get into any of your games that you DM, but maybe I'll try to sign up for one of those.
Yeah. But well, actually, if I may add, sure. There is a great role-playing system right now in Poland. It's called Naroshima, and I must say that it very much impressed me because it's a post-apocalyptic system like Fallout, and I must say that it draws from things like Fallout, from Terminator, and, you know, all the best stuff about post-apocalyptic future, and joins it all together. That's why I probably like this system so much. The world is really great, and I hope that this system may make its way to the West. We may be actually with the crew at Dragon Fans trying to translate Naroshima to the Polish language to the English, but right now we are more focused on actually doing the little other way around, as we are right now trying to translate 4th edition to Polish.
Right. Well, thanks a lot, Matt. This has been actually a very, very fun interview, and it's actually got me motivated to go dust off Pablo Goodale, one of my halfling monks.
Well, hopefully, I think I can smell the dust from here.
And yeah, hopefully it'll motivate some others to get back out there as well.
Well, anyway, if you would ever need something, do I be to the disposal. Well, thanks a lot. Bye.
And we're back.
And we're back.
So I went to Phoenix Server last week and played there. They had a Forlorn module up, Forlorn City. And it was actually a very welcoming place to be. I wanted to thank them for having me in there.
Yeah, AsherCon ended up saying he went to there too. Did he?
No, it was a different place. He had he did go somewhere. He went. He played a game with
Striker B.
Yeah. Yes.
Fornal.
And he has a write-up of that in our forums, which we'll link to. Anything else happening?
Yeah, Ernie Noah ended up responding to us, saying he got his Neverwinter Nights podcast T-shirt from us.
Yay!
Yeah, and he put a picture of himself all happy about it on his blog.
Sweet, let's link to it.
Yep, you're going to wave to all our listeners, Ernie.
Yeah, we'll send you what we can.
I don't know when we're going to do the next T-shirt contest.
Yeah. But keep waiting. It'll be out there.
I'm going into voice recording for the Neverwinter Nights 2 module, Hunt Through the Dark, for
Sweet.
The narrator part. Since the narrator part doesn't have the lip and mouth animations yet, because...
So you're just going to put the narrator bit in?
Yeah, just the narrator bit in for right now, and work on the rest later. Is there a plugin for lip syncing?
No, not that I've found, but boy, that'd be an instant Hall of Fame if someone had designed that.
Yes, it would.
So, thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week when we'll have an interview with Rin DeJargo.
Rin DeJargo. Until next week, folks.
Get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
This is Skunk Bean.
And I'm AKA
We're the hobos of Neverwinter Nights.